I'm Nikki Strong. This is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On today's program, Katie Weaver and Dan Friedel have news about the monkeypox outbreak. John Russell presents this week's science report. Finally, Kelly Jean Kelly tells us about the presidency of Andrew Johnson. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
The fast-spreading monkeypox virus led the World Health Organization to declare a public health emergency of international concern this month. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said in a statement, "The outbreak has continued to grow, and there are now more than 16,000 reported cases from 75 countries and territories, and 5 deaths." He added, "We have an outbreak that has spread through new modes of transmission, about which we understand too little." In recent years, the health agency has issued such declarations on COVID-19, Ebola, and the Zika viruses. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that monkeypox is part of the same virus family as smallpox. Monkeypox was first discovered in 1958 among groups of monkeys used for research. The first human case of monkeypox was recorded in 1970. The virus spreads mainly through close contact with an infected person. Until this year, the viral disease has rarely spread outside Africa. But reports of new cases in Europe and other places signaled that the outbreak had spread around the world. Monkeypox symptoms are similar to smallpox, but milder. Most patients only experience fever, aches, and tiredness. Some may develop a rash with cuts on their face and hands that can spread to other parts of the body. The sickness usually lasts 2 to 4 weeks. The virus can spread from person to person through direct contact with the infectious rash, sex with an infected person, or contact with their clothes or bedding. A pregnant woman can also pass the virus to her fetus. Unlike the SARS-CoV-2 virus that caused the COVID-19 pandemic, monkeypox does not spread easily over the air. Anyone can spread the virus, but the current outbreak outside of Africa appeared to spread mainly among men who have sex with men. Health officials from several countries urged the WHO to declare monkeypox a public health emergency as the disease spread quickly in the past month. From June to July, the WHO reported that cases of monkeypox had increased from 3,040 to more than 16,000. The number of countries with infections has also gone up from 47 to 75. Officials were especially concerned that the disease has spread quickly among people who did not travel to Africa, where the disease is endemic. That means it has become permanently established in an area. The emergency declaration usually brings more resources and action to deal with the outbreak. It also pushes countries to work together on testing, and producing vaccines and treatments for the disease. For now, the WHO said the risk of monkeypox is moderate around the world, except in Europe, where it listed the risk as high. CDC health officials advise that people should avoid close skin-to-skin contact with people who have a rash that looks like monkeypox. They say, do not touch, hug, kiss, or have sex with someone with monkeypox. Do not share utensils for eating or drinking. Do not touch bedding or clothing of an infected person. And wash hands often with soap and water or use hand sanitizer. In Central and West Africa, the CDC says people should avoid contact with animals that can spread the monkeypox virus, such as monkeys and rodents. And they should also avoid sick or dead animals. At this time, health officials are still learning whether children and people with existing health problems are more at risk of the disease. If you are sick with monkeypox, health officials say you should remain isolated. There is no cure for monkeypox. However, the CDC says monkeypox and smallpox viruses are genetically similar, which means that antiviral drugs and vaccines developed to protect against smallpox may be used to prevent and treat monkeypox virus infections. U.S. and European health officials say antivirals, such as tecovirimat, may be given to people who are more likely to get severely sick. That group includes patients with weakened immune systems. Health officials in Europe and the U.S. have also recently announced that they will send out monkeypox vaccines to affected communities. The two-shot vaccine is being manufactured at Bavarian Nordic's plant in Denmark. I'm Katie Weaver.
The World Health Organization, WHO, recently declared monkeypox a public health emergency of international concern. The health organization said, there are now more than 16,000 reported cases from 75 countries and territories and 5 deaths. The 5 documented deaths are in Africa, the one continent without a single shot of vaccine against monkeypox. The numbers center on cases of the outbreak since May. Ahmed Agwell is the acting head of the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or Africa CDC. Since the start of 2022, he said, more than 2,100 cases of the disease have been reported in Africa, resulting in 75 deaths. Agwell noted that the African continent of 1.3 billion people is again being left behind in access to vaccines as it was during the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. He said, "Let us get vaccines onto the continent." Monkeypox has been reported in parts of Africa for many years, but the virus did not spread widely outside the continent. Last May, health organizations began reporting cases of monkeypox in the U.S., Europe, and many other countries. That started a rush to get vaccines for the disease. The European Commission said it will purchase 160,000 doses of the vaccine, and health officials in the U.S. said 800,000 doses will be available to doctors around the country after a few weeks of delays. The two-shot vaccine is manufactured at Bavarian Nordic's plant in Denmark. But Agwell said the Africa CDC cannot make similar statements. He said he hopes to have good news in the coming days, but did not know when the shots would be available. He said smallpox vaccines, which can work against monkeypox, are not available either. Agwell reminded the international health community that unless Africa is safe from disease, the rest of the world is not safe. After seeing the international response to the COVID-19 pandemic, with wealthy nations spending money for vaccines and treatments, Agwell said, "The solutions need to be global in nature." The WHO said it is creating a vaccine sharing system for monkeypox, but not much information has come out. In addition, no countries have agreed yet to share vaccines with the WHO. I'm Dan Friedel.
Mammals can produce their own body heat and control their body temperatures. This process is known as endothermy, or warm-bloodedness. Scientists believe that it may be the reason why mammals likely rule almost every ecosystem. Warm-blooded mammals are more active than cold-blooded animals. They can live in different environments, from the frozen Arctic to the boiling desert, and they reproduce faster. The soft tissues that would give information about warm or cold-bloodedness are rarely preserved in fossils. So, paleontologists, or experts in the study of fossils, do not know exactly when mammals developed and changed into warm-blooded creatures. A group of scientists tried to answer that question in a study recently published in Nature. Ricardo Araujo is a paleontologist at the University of Lisbon. Araujo and a group of researchers proposed that the shape and size of the inner ear structures, called canals, could be used to study body temperature. The movement of fluid through the ear canals helps the body to preserve balance and movement. This fluid in cold-blooded animals is cooler and thicker, meaning wider canals are needed. Warm-blooded animals have less ear fluid and smaller canals. The research team suggested that as body temperature increased and the animals became more active, the shape and size of ear canals changed to preserve balance and movement. The researchers compared ear canals in 341 animals. They said the ear canals showed that warm-bloodedness, or endothermy, appeared around 233 million years ago, millions of years later than some previous estimates. Araujo said, "Endothermy is a defining feature of mammals, including us humans. Having a high body temperature regulates all our actions and behaviors." But the first creatures that showed warm-bloodedness are not officially considered to be mammals. These ancient animals, known as mammaliomorph synapsids, had traits linked with mammals. The first true mammals, the researchers said, appeared roughly 30 million years later. Ken Angelsik of the Field Museum in Chicago is a co-leader of the study. He said, "Given how central endothermy is to so many aspects of the body plan, physiology, and lifestyle of modern mammals, when it evolved in our ancient ancestors has been a really important unsolved question. Endothermy evolved at a time when important elements of the mammal body plan were falling into place, including changes to the backbone, breathing system, and hearing system. Having warm-bloodedness also helped mammals at an important evolutionary moment when dinosaurs and flying reptiles first appeared on Earth. And mammals took over after the dinosaur mass extinction event 66 million years ago. Among today's animals, mammals and birds are warm-blooded. It is maybe too far-fetched, but interesting, to think that the onset of endothermy in our ancestors may have ultimately led to the construction of the Giza pyramids or the development of the smartphone, Araujo said. If our ancestors would have not become independent of environmental temperatures, these human achievements would probably not be possible. I'm John Russell.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Andrew Johnson. Johnson was vice president under Abraham Lincoln and became president in 1865 after Lincoln was killed. His name sounds like that of an earlier president, Andrew Jackson, and also like a later president, Lyndon Johnson. But Andrew Johnson served in the years just after the Civil War. You can remember Johnson this way. He was the first U.S. president to be impeached. Andrew Johnson grew up in a poor family in the southern state of North Carolina. As a child, Johnson had little formal education. Instead, he trained to be a tailor. When he was a young man, Johnson moved to Tennessee, another southern state. He opened a tailoring business, where he made, repaired, and sold clothing. When he was 18 years old, he married. His wife, Eliza McCardle, was only 16. They went on to have 5 children together. Eliza McCardle Johnson did not come from a wealthy family either, but she was better educated than her husband, and she helped him develop his reading and writing skills. She also supported his gift for public speaking. Johnson's speeches were especially popular with workers in their community. They liked his criticism of the state's wealthy planters. The workers also liked his politics. At the time, Johnson supported measures that permitted slavery to expand across the country. He was clear in his speeches that he did not support equality between whites and African Americans, whether enslaved or free. In time, Johnson held many political offices: mayor, Tennessee's governor, state legislator, and member of the U.S. House of Representatives. When the Civil War began, he was a member of the U.S. Senate. Although he was a Southerner, he did not believe the Southern states had a right to withdraw from the Union. When the other Southern senators resigned from the U.S. Congress, Johnson stayed. As a result, most Southerners considered him a traitor, but most Northerners considered him a hero. By 1864, The American Civil War was 3 years old. The conflict was becoming increasingly fierce and bloody. That year, the states that remained in the Union held their presidential election. The president, Abraham Lincoln, wanted to win re-election and continue directing the Union's war effort. But he was not sure that voters in the opposition Democratic Party would support him. So he turned to Andrew Johnson to be his choice for vice president. Johnson was a pro-slavery Democrat. Lincoln was an anti-slavery Republican. In the U.S. tradition, presidential candidates do not usually choose someone from a different party to serve as vice president. But in this case, Lincoln's Republicans did. They called the Lincoln-Johnson partnership the National Union Party. Political leaders hoped Johnson would appeal to Democrats who supported the war effort, to workers, and to small farmers. The plan, along with several military successes for the Union, helped carry the National Union Party to victory. The swearing-in ceremony the following March, however, suggested some of the difficulties ahead. Johnson was sick. To feel better, he had a lot of alcoholic drinks the night before the ceremony. The next morning, he drank some more. When Johnson stood to give his speech, he appeared unsteady. He talked about his poor family and his simple beginnings. Then he spoke angrily about wealthy Southern planters who had withdrawn from the Union. He became increasingly confused. Other people in the crowd wrote later that they felt embarrassed by Johnson's behavior. And some Republicans began calling already for his resignation, or even impeachment. Those critics could not have predicted that in a few weeks, Johnson would be the president. A few very important events happened in the weeks after Lincoln and Johnson were sworn in. In April, Lincoln was shot and killed. Johnson took office as the new president. The following month, the Civil War officially ended. The Confederate States of America was no more. And that December, a majority of states approved the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That amendment ended slavery across the country. President Johnson, therefore, guided the process of reuniting the North and South and supervised the transition of many African Americans from slavery to freedom. That period in U.S. history is called Reconstruction. Members of Congress from the northern states had been thinking for a long time about how to carry out Reconstruction. The most extreme lawmakers, the radical Republicans, wanted to punish former Confederate officials and extend political and civil rights to African Americans. Johnson had different ideas. In the first months of his presidency, before Congress had met, Johnson pardoned many former Confederate officials. He also let Southerners rebuild their state governments as they wished. Those governments quickly passed laws called Black Codes. Black Codes restricted the freedom and rights of African Americans. They permitted white landowners to control African Americans' labor, much as they had when the workers were slaves. The laws were enforced by all-white police and militia. Radical Republicans in Congress, as well as African Americans, objected strongly to the Black Codes. When Congress finally did meet, Republican lawmakers voted for a measure to help and protect formerly enslaved people. But Johnson vetoed the measure. He said the bill would give the federal government too much power. Johnson's veto was one move in a political war between the president and many Republicans. In time, lawmakers got the upper hand. The Republican Congress soon took control of Reconstruction. Against Johnson's wishes, they succeeded in passing several major pieces of legislation. One was the Civil Rights Act of 1866. It recognized that everyone born in the United States, including African Americans, although not Native Americans, was a citizen. Another was the extension of the Freedmen's Bureau Act, the measure that Johnson had earlier vetoed. For two more years, the federal government was authorized to help people displaced by the Civil War. Finally, lawmakers passed a measure barring the president from dismissing any top officials without the approval of Congress. President Johnson ignored the measure. When he believed the Secretary of War did not treat him respectfully, the president ordered that man's dismissal. In answer, members of the U.S. House of Representatives voted to impeach Johnson. In other words, they charged him with a crime. It was the first time in U.S. history that a president has been impeached. But impeached does not always mean removed from office. The case moves to the Senate. There, senators act as a jury. They decide whether the president is guilty. Two-thirds of the Senate must agree to convict the president. In the case of Andrew Johnson, 54 senators considered his case. For him to be removed from office, 20 would need to find him guilty. But only 19 did. His position was saved by a single vote. Although Johnson survived impeachment, he was not nominated as a candidate for president in the next election. Instead, he returned to his home in Tennessee, then competed for a seat back in Congress. On the third try, he succeeded. Johnson is the first and only, so far, former president to serve as a senator. He did not stay in the position long, however. A few months after returning to Congress, Johnson died suddenly after suffering a stroke. He was 66 years old. Today, historians have mixed feelings about his presidency. Johnson's supporters approve of his limits on the federal government and belief in a firm separation of powers among Congress, the President, and Supreme Court. But most historians believe Johnson's Reconstruction policies were extremely damaging. They did not help reunite the North and South, and they extended the suffering of African Americans and the country's history of racial oppression. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.